Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning.
I want to thank Brother Glenn. Brother Greg, excuse me. He sure has been an inspiration to me ever since I met him in everything. He's always been a true Christian. I can testify for that. But anyway, you know, it's been kind of a struggling week for me. I mean, we found out some things about Lindsay. You know, sometimes it's discouraging. No, it's not things and everything, her having cancer. But just like that song, you know, like a peace like a river, is always, it's well with my soul. And I want to thank the Lord for that. Father, as I come before you today, Lord, I just come before you, Lord, in awe of how you've taken care of our family, Lord, and how you've been with us, been close, encouraged us, and gave us strength. God, I know you'll continue to do that, Lord, but sometimes it gets tough. And so, Lord, just help us to lean on you. And God, give you all the praise and glory for what you've done in our life already. Father, just ask you to be with us this morning, God, that you just bless the reading of your word, Lord, the teaching of your word, the preaching of your word. And God, we thank you for these dear servants, Lord, that bring us to us. Bring it to us. Lord, so we just ask you to be with us, strengthen us, guide us, direct us, Lord. Help us to support these Gideons because they sure do a fine work. And Lord, help us to live like you'd want us to live out in the neighborhoods and the byways and highways, God, that you can get to glory. So we ask you to be with us the rest of this morning, God. Help the ones that couldn't be here today, God, and help the ones that's got all these different type diseases too. It's not only us, so we want to you to take care of them too. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you, Greg and Lucy. God bless you all. We are going to continue this morning in our sermon series, The Joy-Filled Life. In the book of Philippians. So if you have a copy of God's Word, please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 12 through 26 this morning. But I want to just read one verse of Scripture for you and with you. Is that okay? And then we'll cover the rest of these verses as we move through. Let's all honor God's Word, if we can, in reverence to His holy, inspired, inerrant Word. Let's just rise, if we can. And I want to read one verse there out of Philippians 1. And it is a power-packed verse. Are you ready? Verse 21. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. There should have been a great big Baptist amen right after that. For me to live is Christ. Amen. And to die is gain. Amen. Father, bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your word this morning. Fill us with your spirit. Teach us, lead us, guide us in your word this morning. And Father, may we be obedient to what you tell us to do. Help us to leave here differently than the way we came in. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to just begin with one of my favorite all-time movies is a movie about a young football player by the name of Rudy. Anybody ever seen Rudy, the movie Rudy? Okay, a few of you. Rudy had a dream to play football for Notre Dame University. Now, you need to understand, Rudy was 5 foot seven and 150 pounds soaking wet. He played high school ball, but no one was knocking, there wasn't any scouts knocking the doors down to get Rudy to come play college ball for him. His family was pretty much broke, busted, and disgusted. They couldn't send Rudy to college, but Rudy played with passion. And after he graduated from high school, he tried to get on a bus that his high school was taking for prospective students to Notre Dame University. And they said, "You're not college material," and wouldn't let him on the bus. And over and over and over again, he encountered negative experience after negative experience. Everybody was telling him, "You're not big enough to be a football player. You sure can't play football for Notre Dame. And by the way, your grades are terrible, and you'll never even get admitted into Notre Dame." Well, Rudy wouldn't give up on his dream. And he enrolled at his own cost at Holy Cross, which is a prep school. This is a true story. It's a great movie. And so after 3 years of studying and applying and trying to do the very best, he got his grades up. And he was working odd jobs to support his school and his tuition and his room and board and all that. And then lo and behold, after 3 years of that, he was finally accepted and admitted into Notre Dame. And he was working all kinds of odd jobs. So he went to work for the groundskeeper there. Y'all pray for me. I've got a bad case of ADD this morning. I really do. When you're 65, you can't stay focused like you did when you were 25. All right? Now, where was I? He'd been admitted to the university, and here's what he did. He just wanted to be as close to the football team as he could. But lo and behold, his senior year, Rudy walked on and made the team. And he was so excited, he went home to tell his dad and his brothers. And you know what? You'll never make anything of yourself. Well, the last game of the season, Rudy got to dress out. And he had called his family, and they were all came to the, just to make sure, I guess, that he wasn't lying to them. And they showed up at the game. The stadium's full. And in the very last play of the game, they sent Rudy in to play. And you remember what he did? He sacked the quarterback, and the place went wild. And his family was full of admiration and thanksgiving and respect for him. Why? Because Rudy never gave up. He kept on keeping on. He stayed with the stuff. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what this passage of Scripture is all about. I want to talk to you about keep on keeping on. Look at your neighbor and say, "Let's stay with the stuff." Okay. Now, here's the first thing that jumps out at me at this passage. Our purpose, first of all, is to advance the gospel. Our purpose is to advance the gospel. And we advancing the gospel means that we spread the gospel. Look at verse 12. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul had it in his heart to preach the gospel, the good news, in Rome. I mean, Rome was the head and the hub of the Roman Empire. And it was there that Paul realized he had the potential to reach millions of people across the Roman Empire if he could go to Rome and preach the gospel. Well, Paul did go to Rome, not as a preacher, but as a prisoner. And here's what happened. He says, see that word furtherance there in verse 13? That is a military term. It speaks of a pioneer advance. Before the Roman troops would go into a new territory, they always sent army engineers to open up the way and to prepare the way for the troops to come into a new territory. And that's exactly Paul summing things up in advancing the gospel. He realized that everything that had happened to him, he's in prison now, in chains, in fetters. He's chained to Roman guards. He's awaiting trial. He doesn't know if he's going to be exonerated or if he's going to be executed. But he said, and remember, he had a terrible shipwreck on the way to Rome. And so Paul said, hey, it's all in God's plan in order for the gospel to go forth in power. And my brothers and sisters, that's where we are today. I mean, take a look at our city. Take a look at our community, our state, our nation, our churches. We have got to keep advancing the gospel. We've got to spread the gospel no matter what comes against us. Amen? And so here's secondly, here's advancing the gospel involved not only spreading the gospel, but sometimes suffering for the gospel. Uh-oh. We don't like that word, do we? We somehow like to think we ought to be exempt from suffering. Look at verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Advancing the gospel sometimes involves suffering. Now, Paul's chained to some Roman soldiers, and these weren't just any Roman soldiers. They were crack Roman soldiers. I mean, they had been handpicked by the Roman government. And the emperor had even given them special privileges, and they were receiving double pay. And so every 4 hours, this shift would change, and Paul's chained to the... How would you like to be chained to the Apostle Paul? I mean, every 4 hours, he's got a new testimony to bring. Oh, I heard an old story. How a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I'm sure some of those Roman soldiers wound up giving their lives to Christ. But even in the midst of suffering, we're to spread the gospel. We're to advance the gospel. Paul was suffering in prison, in chains. But just as God used a rod in Moses' hand, just as God used clay pots in Gideon's hand, just as God used a slingshot in David's hand, God used those chains. And I want to tell you, there is a special ministry in suffering. God will give you favor with folks in order to share the gospel in the midst of suffering. I can't tell you how many of you all have been in a hospital or you've been to the doctor or you've been somewhere else and you're going through a tough time and it gave you an opportunity to share the gospel, to advance the gospel. That's what it's all about. That's what the Gideon ministry is all about. And so we're to advance the gospel. We're to spread it. Sometimes we suffer in spreading the gospel. And then finally in verse 14, advancing the gospel involves strengthening the gospel. Look at verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It had become evident to everyone around Paul that he was in chains because of the gospel. He was suffering for Christ's sake. And it strengthened people. What does it do for you when you see somebody struggling and yet staying faithful? Doesn't that encourage you? I'll tell you what, that blesses me, because Paul had been faithful to share the gospel even though he was in chains. Others had been encouraged to do the same. Can you imagine Paul's witness, what it did for young Timothy? What it did for Epaphroditus? What it did for Barnabas and John Mark and Silas? And Titus, Paul's ministry. I'll never forget the very first, evangelistic outreach that this church did 4 years ago. We were going to egg our neighbors that first Easter. Y'all remember that? If you're like me, you can't remember what happened yesterday, but we were out in Southern Hills egging our neighbors and going house to house, door to door, passing out Easter eggs and praying for people, inviting folks to come to church, getting in gospel conversations. And we were going down one street, and I saw something that made me stop. I saw Norris Smiley going up to a front door. He had those two walking sticks. And he walked up to that front door, and I watched him. And he banged on that front door, and somebody came to the door. And he shared the gospel with them. Did they get saved? I don't know. But I want to tell you what that did for me. I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol after I saw Norris walking up with those two walking canes of his. Amen? Him and Janice are no longer with us. They're serving at another church, and that's okay. But you see, when we stay faithful to the Word, when we're on top of things, even when tough times come and we stay, it encourages everybody else. I was so blessed to pull up out at Kenwood and watching those 500 folks walk off of there with plates of food, and people at Kenwood were praying for them. I was so encouraged. And so your witness will encourage others. Stay faithful, brothers and sisters. How many of you remember Steve Jobs? He's the big guru for Apple computers. Back when he was a young man, Steve was trying to get Apple computers rolling. And he realized in order to compete in the marketplace, he needed a great marketer. He needed somebody that has some tremendous marketing skills. Well, Pepsi Cola had a tremendous mastermind, a genius, who promoted. Y'all remember the Pepsi ad campaign? It took Pepsi to the top. They went above sales, even above Coca-Cola for the first time. And so Steve said, "That John Sculley, that's the guy I need on my team." And so he began to wine and dine John Sculley. And he said, trying to get him to come over to Apple Computers. And he just wouldn't leave Pepsi. And then finally one night, they're sitting down to dinner at a table. And Steve leaned across the table, put his fork down, and said, "John, here's the bottom line. Do you want to keep selling sugared water, or do you want to come with us and change the world?" And that cut him to the quick. He went home and began to meditate on those words and decided he wanted to get with Steve and change the world. And here is the rest of the story. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to miss our purpose in selling sugared water. Our purpose is to advance the gospel. Amen. Amen. What a great word from the Word. And so not only is our purpose to advance the gospel, get this, watch this, our position is to announce the gospel. And sometimes we announce the gospel in adversity. Look at verse 15. Y'all with me? "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains." Now, there were some Christians living in Rome, and they were not on board with Paul's preaching grace. They felt like all these new Gentile believers needed to live under the old Jewish customs, traditions, and laws. Now, they were preaching the gospel, but not like Paul was. Well, Paul's ministry was blessed of God, and he was winning thousands of people faith in Christ, and he'd been elevated to apostleship on par with Peter and John. And these Judaizers had grown envious. You know, envy is an old sin, is it not? And that word strife there means to sow discord. And so these Judaizers are saying things like, "Not have you trusted in Christ, whose side are you on?" Can I just say to you, if we are going to advance the gospel, brothers and sisters, we're going to have adversity. We're going to have opposition. Because anytime you're trying to do something for God, hello, Satan's going to rear his head. "But greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world." And Paul went on to say, I know that I'm going to accomplish what God put me here to do because of the prayers of the saints and the supply of the Spirit. Glory to God. And so when somebody comes against you and you're trying to announce the gospel, you're trying to share the gospel, just know who you're. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. We read that this morning. Our battle is against powers and principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. We got to announce the gospel, even in adversity, but we announce the gospel also by appointment. Look at verse 7. Appointment's a key word. I'm going to touch on this here in just a minute. But the latter, verse 17, "the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." Now, Paul was down. He's in a Roman prison cell for preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel. And his enemies were jumping up and down. But Paul knew that he'd been appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ to not only share the gospel, but defend the gospel. Did you know that God gives us divine appointments to share His word? Did you know that? He'll just line them up. Doesn't matter where you are. You know, if y'all are like me, I get busy and I get my blinders on and I get so focused on filling that, you know, accomplishing that schedule for the day. Sometimes I'll miss these divine appointments that God puts people in my path. Anybody else like me? Don't miss that divine appointment. Whether you're in the grocery store, the department store, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, whether you're at work or maybe in the neighborhood when you're out cutting grass, God just keeps bringing people to us so that we might announce the gospel. Now, I'll come back to that in just a moment. There's one other thing here about announcing the gospel. This is our position. We announce the gospel in adoration. Look at verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. You couldn't take the joy away from the Apostle Paul. He had joy. He was in adoration about the potential and possibility and prospects of sharing the gospel. And so here's what happened. Paul couldn't applaud the Judaizers and their motives, but at the same time, he was just glad that Christ was being preached. Just glad, just thankful for that. Oh, they weren't going about it quite like Paul was, but people were getting knowledge of Christ, and that's a good thing. Can I just share this with you? I've been working a lot and trying to minister and getting pastors together to pray and to get our city on fire and get our church. I've been waiting. And you know what? I was in here Friday morning with two Methodists, one Pentecostal, one Baptist pastor, and then one denominational guy. And we had all different kinds of doctrine. All different kinds of beliefs. And yet every single person there was all about getting Jesus to people. We need to quit arguing and fussing about all these minor things and let that go and just get people to Jesus. He's going to straighten us out. It's not my responsibility to go around here and straighten out everybody doctrinally. It's my position to preach and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let God take care of all these other issues. Hallelujah. Now, here's the story I wanted to get to. This is so cool. In seminary, I had to take an evangelism course. Did y'all hear what I just said? It's called Evangelism 101. Dr. Hal Poe, I'll never forget it. And John, he gave us an assignment that semester, and we all had to share the good news of the gospel with at least one person every week that semester. And I do think every pastor and preacher ought to be able to share the gospel, right? Well, there was one classmate, he about broke out in hives. I mean, he just got tore up when he started thinking about witnessing and sharing the gospel. He even went and met with Dr. Poe and asked him, said, I just don't think I can do this. And Dr. Poe said, well, if you want to pass my class, you're going to have to witness once a week and turn in that report at the end of every week. He said, I want to encourage you just to pray. Well, our classmate began to pray. And one morning, he got down on his hands and knees and he said, Lord, this is what my professors asked me to do. And obviously, this is what the Bible tells me to do. And I've been unfaithful. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. And Lord, if you would give me a divine appointment, if I'm supposed to witness today, would you give me a sign? Amen. And then he got up, went to class that day. In the afternoons, he would take a bus to get to work, and nothing happened. And he says, well, I guess I'm off the hook. And he gets back on the bus to come home. And just before the door closes, this big, burly mountain of a man climbs on the bus. And guess who he sits by? My classmate in seminary. And he sits down, and they hadn't even gotten down the road, and he told us, this big burly man started bawling, sobbing, crying. And he looked, I get tore up every time I think about it. And he looked at our classmate and he said, "My life is a mess. It's in shambles. Can anybody help me? Do you know anybody that could help me out?" Our classmate bowed his head and said, "Lord, is this my sign?" Brothers and sisters, here is your sign. This is your sign. We are to advance the gospel. That's our purpose. We're to announce the gospel. That's our position. And then finally, we have one overarching, overriding principle. We're to amplify the gospel. Look at verse 20. Now, Paul had one overarching, you sense this in his letters all the time. Paul wanted to amplify, glorify, and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where his joy came from. And that's what it's all about. And so we amplify the gospel first in death. These verses are so awesome. Look at verse 20. "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified," there it is, "in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell." We're to amplify the gospel even in death. Even in death. Now, Paul didn't know. He was up for trial. He didn't know whether he was going to be set free or guilty of being a Roman traitor. He didn't know. But he was going to give God glory. And he was going to praise the Lord and lift up Jesus no matter what. And the word ashamed there literally means to be disappointed. We're not ever ashamed as Christians. But above all else, Paul wanted to magnify the Lord in his circumstances and in his situation. And so Paul says, "Hey, for me to die is gain." I've noticed something, Sadie. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Don't y'all want to go to heaven? You don't want to go to hell, I promise you that. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. Because we've never been there before, right? Well, the old Apostle Paul had been to heaven. Go over there and read 1 Corinthians. I believe it's 12. And Paul was taken up. Had a great revelation in the third heavens of heaven itself. It's 2 Corinthians 12, I'm sorry. And he saw things that were inexpressible. He saw things that were too glorious to even describe. I mean, how do you have earthly words describe heavenly things? And so he'd been to heaven. And he says, "Man, for me to die is gain. That's better for me." Paul was ready to go. I mean, can you imagine uninterrupted fellowship with Jesus, face to face with Jesus, no more sin, eternal life, never sick, never sorry, no tears. Can you imagine that? For us to die is gain. Do we really believe that? I don't know if we do or not, and I guess you don't really answer that question until it comes your time. But Paul says, "For me to die is gain." The word "depart" there means to take down your tent and move on. Whoo, isn't that a beautiful word? Paul was ready to move on. But he realized that he needed to amplify the gospel in life. Now look at verse 23. "For I am hard pressed." We're almost done. "I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Verse 24, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. We amplify the gospel not only in death but in life. Paul said, for me to die is gain, but he said, for me to live is Christ. And brothers and sisters, Paul came to the realization, listen to me now, get this, lean in. He was in a win-win situation. If he died, he was better off. But if he lived, he got to continue doing what God had put him here to do, and he got to do it with his brothers and sisters in the Lord. For me to live is Christ. Paul's commentary on this is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul had one sole goal in mind, and that was to see others get what he had. Don't you wish everybody had Jesus? That was Paul's sole goal, that others would see Christ in him, that he would speak the words of Jesus, walk the way of Jesus, live like Jesus, act like Jesus, eat like Jesus. I mean, that was his deal. It was his sole purpose. For me to live is Christ. There's some folks today that would say, for me to live is money and wealth and possessions. But for me to die is to lose it all. I saw Ronnie Raines. I listened to his sermon last night online, and he had a picture of a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Somebody sent it to him. You're not going to take a dime with you. Only those relationships that you've built in Christ are going to go with you. Some would say, for me to live is prestige and power, position, popularity. But for me to die is to lose all that. For me to live is pleasure. But to die is sorrow. Paul was in a dilemma. He was kind of hemmed up on both sides. To die was wonderful, but to live meant he would glorify Christ. Paul was willing, listen to this, was willing to postpone his trip to glory in others so that others might be saved. Man, our aim, like Paul, is to amplify the gospel in death and in life. And again, I just want to ask, what is your goal in life? What are you living for? What are you after? What is your purpose? Is it this principle? To glorify, magnify, and amplify the Lord Jesus Christ? Who are you living for? One of these days you're going to take your last breath. And you know who you're going to see then? You're going to see the judge, the jury, the prosecutor. You're going to see everybody all wrapped up in one. His name is Jesus. And whatever you did with him in this life determines where you're going to spend all of eternity. I can't imagine stepping out into a Christless eternity after what Jesus has done for me. I don't share much about this, but my grandfather and Susan's grandfather was J. Cullis Smith. He was a Baptist preacher, pastor, church planter for 60 years. In the 30s, 40s, and 50s, my granddad planted dozens of churches in Colorado, Texas, and Oklahoma. Mom said they didn't stay anywhere longer than 2 or 3 years. And it was off to plant another church. But by the time his three daughters, my mom being the oldest, by the time those three girls were teenagers, he settled in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and became the pastor, had a long pastorate there in Ardmore. It's called Ardmore Orthodox Baptist Church. I think he pastored there 19 or 20 years. And mom said they never had any money. The deep freezer out there in the garage was filled with deer that he'd harvested and fish that he'd caught. He loved to hunt and fish. But he taught himself. He was a theological genius. I mean, I've got his book, some of his book. I've got dozens and dozens of his sermons. Fantastic preacher. But 2 days before his 64th birthday, after almost 20 years at this church, they had a business meeting. Can I just tell you, I can't stand business meetings. Some folks love them, but I don't like them. Because I've never seen anybody won to faith in Christ in a business meeting. But anyways, in that business meeting, they fired my granddaddy. And my grandmother called Mama. I don't know if you remember this or not, but she called Mama crying and bawling and squalling and said, "You should have heard some of the awful things they said about your dad. None of it was true." And my granddaddy never said a word. And I'll tell you, God dealt with that church. It's just a shell. It may even be gone by now. Do you know what my granddad did? He went out to Lake Murray State Park. And for the next 17 years, he became the chaplain of Lake Murray State Park. He loved the outdoors. God put him in a place where he could hunt and fish. And every day of the week, he had an opportunity to share the gospel. And he would preach the gospel on Wednesdays and Sundays. They had services there in the state park. Just a few weeks before my granddad passed, we were out in Oklahoma, and I was sitting in my aunt's den, and granddad was sitting there. He'd been reading his Bible, and he was leaned back, and he had his eyes closed. And I think he was meditating on what he'd been reading. But y'all, he had a glory shine to him. Some of y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit from time to time has this Shekinah glow about him. And my aunt came in the den and said, "Dad, we're about to have lunch. Would you pray for us?" And granddaddy never opened his eyes. And as God is my witness, that's the most beautiful prayer I've ever heard in my life. And he prayed that God would raise up some men and women in our family that would share the gospel. And that God would cause one of his rebellious grandsons to preach. My granddad stayed with the stuff. He kept on keeping on. He fought the good fight of the faith. And my brothers and sisters, I've come here to tell you today, you can too. Because the same Jesus that saved my grandfather is the one that saved you and lives in you. The Spirit of Jesus, you got him. Yeah, you're going to have hard times. Yeah, there's going to be tough days. Yeah, there's going to be news you don't want to hear. But through it all, you have the Lord Jesus. He had the Holy Spirit in you, and you've got your brothers and sisters in Christ to support you. And we have got to keep advancing the gospel, announcing the gospel, and amplifying the gospel for His glory. And one of these days, we'll stand before Him and hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in to heaven." Father, I'm having trouble again landing this plane. But Lord, there are people here that are discouraged. There are folks in this congregation that are having a tough time. And Satan may even be telling, "It's not worth it. Throw in the towel. Forget about it." And then there are others that are here that are focused on wrong priorities. I was one of those. Things that are not important are too important. And the thing that's most important is not important. And so, Lord, this is decision time. And may the Spirit of God have His way here today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to just share the gospel with you right now. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We're in the same boat. We have all sinned against God, as Greg Lane told us. But Jesus left heaven and came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life 2,000 years ago. And he went to an old Roman cross to pay for our sins, every single one of them. And as God, he could do that. And so you can be forgiven of all your sin, never to be held against you again. But God also raised him from the grave. And he's alive today. And if you'd be willing, right where you sit or right here at this altar, anywhere, to pray a childlike prayer of faith and ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, God will save you right where you are. Father, I pray that if there's anyone lost here today, that they would turn to Jesus Christ as their only means of salvation, and that you would save their soul. And the rest of us here, Father, those that need to be encouraged with the gospel, those that need to be strengthened by the gospel, those that need to be challenged by the gospel, those that need to make priorities, the right priority, oh God, move in our midst today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed to receive Christ, we want to hear about it. You can either fill out one of those cards and tell us, check one of those boxes about your decision. Or best of all, you can come to an old-fashioned altar and tell us, I've prayed to receive Christ today. And we'll get some stuff in your hands that'll help you get started right in your brand spanking new life. And one of our deacons and their wife will take you off and get your contact information and show you what to do next. You can't beat a deal like that. And then the rest of us, I know. There are some decisions that need to be made for the gospel. What are we going to sing, Brother Andrew? Whiter than snow. Let's all stand. You come, let's sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.